the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouths be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. This summer, I have been privileged to be reading theology with Father Armand as I prepare for my general ordination exams in January. And as I was visiting with Father Armand this week, he commented on how glad he was to have a break from preaching this week. And then he commented on how anybody who was preaching this week really needed to make mention of what was going on in Ferguson, Missouri. That would be me. But you know, I pushed back a little bit because that didn't feel quite right to me. Because, yes, Ferguson has been in the news a lot this week, but last week it was Gaza. And the week before that it was ISIS. The week before that it was Ukraine. The week before that it was Syria. It feels like this whole summer has just been this continuum of breathless reporting from event to event. Every week there's something new, something of the uttermost importance, until the next week comes along. And so we find ourselves in a world full of conflict. As I read the lessons for this week and thought about what I might bring today, I was struck by the passage in Exodus. We read, "Now a new king arose over Egypt, one who did not know Joseph." And isn't that where the trouble always starts? The one who did not know Joseph, the one who did not remember who the Israelites were and how they had contributed to the life of their community. Instead, this new Pharaoh saw this people and he labeled them as Israelites, as enemies, as slaves. Pretty soon, this new king of Egypt began thinking, you know, this people just, they make too many babies. And so his response was to enact a program of genocide. As I read this story, it looks so clean in the scriptures, and yet I wonder, was it so clean if you were there? Did the Egyptian in the pew really want to go home and slaughter their neighbor's newborns? How many Israelis today really want to demolish their neighbor's houses? How many Germans during the Nazi regime really wanted to see their Jewish neighbors carried off? How many Americans want to go down to McAllen, Texas, and look in the eye of a real human being and say, you know what? You were born on this side of that line, and therefore you do not deserve life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. How many police officers in Ferguson, Missouri, or maybe in New York City, where last month a man in Staten Island was choked to death by a police officer, how many of these police officers go out into the field wanting to hurt somebody, these very people that they've sworn to protect, to serve? Problems arise when people don't know each other. Problems arise when individuals like Joseph or Mike Brown or Eric Garner get replaced with labels and categories. Foreigner, black, poor. It's easy, perhaps, to label, to objectify others when they're this faceless mass, when they are the black, the white, the biker, the hick, the 1%, the poor, the illegal, the upriver, the Canadian. Sometimes I get so good at labeling others that I also label myself. And I take these same categories and the same criteria and I apply them to myself. Sometimes I label myself as lazy or rude or incompetent. irresponsible. And you know, from time to time, these labels, there might be a grain of truth there. But they don't define the essence of who I am. I'm not to be stuck to these labels. Sometimes they're not the essence of who I am. And sometimes these labels that we apply to ourselves are the most insidious of all, aren't they? Because we really believe them. But my failings, my mistakes, they don't define who I am. And so this is the question that Jesus asks his disciples. He says, who do they say that the Son of Man is? The disciples look around and say, well, some say Elijah, some John the Baptist, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Jesus says, fair enough. But who do you say that I am? And this is Simon's shining moment, isn't it? Simon pipes up and he says, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon sets aside all those false labels and he gets right to the chase, right to the reality. This is who you are, Jesus. Jesus looks back at Simon and says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not teach you this. This label, Messiah, isn't what you heard from flesh and blood, from all the people around us. What you are speaking, this was given to you by God. You are participating in God's revelation to recognize me as the Messiah. Simon encountered Jesus and called him by his true identity. Simon saw Jesus as God saw him. Simon recognized who he was and acknowledged Jesus' authority. And so, Jesus took that authority and he turned right around and he did the same thing for Simon. Jesus looked at Simon and said, you are no longer going to be called Simon the Zealot. You are now Simon Peter, Simon the Rock, Simon the foundation upon whom I will build my church. He says, you, Simon, are a key to the continuing work of God in this world. What Jesus does for Simon is the same thing that God called Moses to do for the people, for the Israelites. At the time of the lesson that we read this morning, the Israelites are living in a hostile place, and many false names are being applied to them. Moses was born because God intended to lead this people through the Red Sea. And in that sea, God was going to wash from them those labels and give them a new name. As a new people, a chosen people, a people who had been abandoned, but now were living in covenant with the Creator of the universe. This was a people who were oppressed, but now they have become a light unto the world, as had been promised to Abraham. And so, Jesus continues this work today. We are gathered here, and we come here bearing on ourselves, on our bodies, many names. Some of those names are good, some not so much. We come here with names that we have chosen for ourselves, and we come here with names that have been put upon us by others. And so we are sister and brother, mom and dad. We are aunt and uncle. We are employee. And boss. We are successful. We are not successful enough. We are loved. We are rejected. We are married. We are divorced. We are needy. We are helpless. We are addicted. We are abused. We are abusers. We are negligent. And in our passage today from Romans, we are invited to bring all those things and to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Because in baptism, those names were washed off of us. We are, Paul tells us, we as Christians are being transformed. We are being renewed in our minds. We are, as we name Jesus, we are acknowledging that we are beloved, that we are accepted, that we are members of the body of Christ. We have been welcomed and invited into the good and perfect will of God. That is the will that loves others, and that is the will that invites renewal and redemption in the world. We have been invited to take part in the activity of God among people. Paul writes in this passage, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. We have lots of different gifts, but they all spring from that same grace. From that grace that gives us the ability to see through the labels that others wear, whether they wear them willingly or otherwise. We are given grace to see through those labels. These gifts empower us to continue the work of Christ, to invite others to know that they are accepted, that they are loved, that they are valued for who they are. We are given authority to declare the love of God that burns for others just as it burns for us. Jesus Christ knows who I am inside and out. He sees through the labels, for better or for worse. That would be kind of scary if I didn't have a trust knowing who God is, that Jesus miraculously chooses to love me. As a church, we are a people, a community of people who are known and loved and living in God's embrace. And so, as I come this morning, I bring no quick solutions for the tragedies going on in Syria or in Ukraine, in Iraq or McAllen, in Gaza or in Ferguson. But I am encouraged by a story I read yesterday on a news site called The Intercept. There was a reporter that was sent from The Intercept to McAllen to report on what's going on at the border in Texas and Mexico. And the reporter did her research and she went, but she found she couldn't just do a few interviews and write a report and go home. Instead, she got sucked into relationship, to meeting people, individuals who had just come across the border and been released from detention. People who needed food and a shower and fresh clothes and a little encouragement as they prepared for a long bus trip. She got involved with individuals, not just with labels. Jesus invites us to discard those labels that are plastered over us and those around us. Jesus invites us to embrace the true identity of the God who created us, the God who knows us. This is God's gift to us. This is God's gift through us to the world. This is our gift and our calling. Amen.